Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life of the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie.
And guess what it's brought to you by? ProfitEnjoy.com. ProfitEnjoy.com, yeah. Not Enjoy.com. And I'm Christy Marie, and you are...
I'm Julie.
You're my darling.
I'm your daughter. You're my mom. We're coaches, and we're your psychotherapist, my teacher, and just living a life, right? Just living a life.
This is all about life with the girlfriends.
Exactly. And hopefully bringing a little joy to your Sunday evening or whenever you listen to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Because...
Did they ever download us this last week?
I don't know if they did. I sent them an email, like, hey...
Two emails.
Yeah, I sent them two emails.
They should let us know, people, if you all got downloads.
So let us know.
Unlike
talk
the,
to us
the
at
aliens.
ChristyMarieAndJulie.com. Yeah, exactly. So, girlfriend, how was your week?
You know what? Right before the show, yeah. I said... What am I going to talk about? Because I cannot remember anything about my week.
Well, it's literally
it's been a blur. Ever since we had the Jellystone flood.
Right.
And we've been dealing with the added insurance issues.
Yeah.
And the, you know, getting things back to normal at Jellystone. And on top of everything else, it's just a blur.
Yeah.
It literally is a blur.
Well.
Although I did have some good brats the other night.
Yes.
Seriously.
I'll tell you that I made some really effing good brats.
You did.
Well, it was funny because you said, hey, I saw this ad and we can get some brats for $4.99.
Yeah.
And I've been buying my brats already pre-cooked.
Uh-huh.
You know, and just like thin toast them
right.
a little bit. You're
right.
Like good to go.
Yeah. And that was fine.
Yeah.
But these were like real old timey brats.
And so like I fried them up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I put them in a baking pan and add tons of water to it.
So yeah. First you caramelized them.
I caramelized them.
Yeah. Fried them up and then you baked them. And honest to God, they were delicious.
Yeah.
And then you happened to do another little thing, which was you got brioche buns.
Yes.
And then you toasted those suckers.
Yeah.
And we added sauerkraut to them.
And I felt like we had to get through them all.
Oh, my
God. We had to get through them. You know, it's so funny, though, because I was so strong on my convictions about giving up these carbs for a while.
Right.
And then, sure enough, last night with a toasted brioche, and I'm like, screw it. I'm going to have me a bun.
What is it about carbs?
Well... I don't know. I don't
what
know what
is
it's about.
It about carbs?
I mean, they're, well, I don't know. They're addicting, basically.
Yeah. They're like a magnet.
Yeah, and if you don't have a problem with food, it's not an issue for you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need a bun. I don't need a bun.
Right.
But if it makes your pleasure sensories in your brain go off more, then there is. And, like, I was doing so well. Like, I'm not opening the door. I'm 100% committed right now. Yada, yada, yada. And, like, sure enough, like, boom, here it is. So I have a little post-carb regret this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Because even though it was awesome, like, when I was eating these perfect bites with my brioche bun, with the brat, with the tomatoes, and a little bit of ketchup and sauerkraut.
Yeah.
I mean...
It's a perfect bite.
It was a perfect bite.
Yeah, it is.
And I should have just gone with the last bite, which is what I sometimes do. I just chop with the last bite.
I wish I would have.
You know, and so you have this... I have this carb regret, you know.
I had a second one.
Yeah, well, so did I. I'm silly. And, because I wouldn't have had it if Normano wasn't making them. You know, but they were already cooked up.
Blame Normano.
I mean, I'm blaming Normano.
That's me too.
No. I mean, I take 100% responsibility for all my actions, thoughts, and beliefs and all that good stuff.
Julie's quoting this book that she's reading. It's 30 Days of Sobriety by Jack Canfield.
I mean, it's nothing
I'm telling the audience this so they know.
Right. But it's nothing that you and I haven't talked about or discussed.
Correct.
And I think that's why we're good at what we do is because we're always in the midst of achieving this.
Right.
These are work in progresses and processes.
WIP. Work in progress.
Yes.
Not PIV.
No.
Which is penis and vagina.
It's not that. Wouldn't
that
be
WIP.
Lovely? I should just change that, my carb addiction, to my PIV addiction. That would be lovely. I might actually burn more calories that way. I don't know. But it was so funny. I had some extra credits available to me from Audible.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to download some books I wanted to see. And I went to the movies to see Rocket Man last weekend. I tell everybody by my review.
Unless
I loved
it didn't drop. Unless the podcast didn't drop.
Yes. And during the previews was this movie called Where'd You Go, Bernadette? And I'm watching the previews, and Kate Blanchett is Bernadette. Kristen Wiig is a character in the movie. And I thought, this is probably a book, and I bet it would be a good audiobook. Mm-hmm. Because once you have in your mind who plays these characters, mm-hmm. when you listen to something or reading something and you interject that person, it kind of is funner.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
And so sure enough, it was. It was a 9-hour book. And
9 hours.
Which is perfect. Yeah. I went to La Crosse or Dubuque twice this weekend.
Right.
And I listened to the whole thing at one time. And the one thing I didn't initially appreciate, but it took me a while to get into, is I bet 90% of the book is told through the eyes of emails and faxes.
That's weird.
It's sort of like, back in the day, there was this book called Sabine and Something Else, and it was all told of the story in regards to, like, here's my letter to you, here's your letter to me, mm-hmm. back and forth. Mm-hmm. And so I took a little while to get into it. Mm-hmm. So I would say 90% of the book feels like that. Mm-hmm. There is some narration going on, mm-hmm. and so forth like that.
That's weird.
I'm not giving anything away, okay?
Oh, God forbid.
But there's an intervention going on in this book.
Can I tell you something, though? In general, if somebody told me something and I liked it, even though they may have given it away a little bit, I'd still buy it or go see it or read it. I'm not that kid.
I know you're not that kid.
But you think 90% of people are that. Like, oh, my God, Julie ruined it for me. Now I can't go buy this audiobook.
I have no idea. I just know what people talk about, like, don't.
Spoiler alert.
Exactly. but anyway, there was an intervention in there. And I don't know if it was a worthy intervention in the story, but then I kept thinking, what really got me thinking is, what if your family had an intervention and it was just because you were mediocre? Like, you know, like, you are just not performing at your 100%. We know your IQ. Your IQ is like 135, 139. And you're like, you're kind of performing at like an 85 to a 90 IQ level here. I go, and I just kept thinking, because what was going on this intervention was just that she was making bad decisions. You know? Yeah, she's making bad decisions. And her decisions were kind of worthy. It wasn't like she... Once you knew the whole story, mm-hmm. in context, her decision-making processes and skills mm-hmm. were appropriate for what was going on in her life. However, it's like you get into these cycles of, like, this piled on upon this, this piled on upon that, and at some point, you got to shut it all down to start over again.
You know, I may need an intervention, I think.
Do you?
Yesterday, you were in Menards, and so Dad and I were going to go to get the car washed while you were in there, because we knew you were going to be there an hour.
Right.
But we went to Walmart first, because Dad wanted to get some Raid for Ant Killer, because it's that time of the year in the camper. But on the outside was this car that said search and rescue. It was obviously a police car. It said mm-hmm. search and rescue. And they had a little table and a little tent. And there was a guy in khaki and a black shirt. And he was all kind of like buffed and everything. And he had two doggies. Mm-hmm. And I was just fascinated by these doggies, because he had stuff to do. And he was going back and forth to his car. And these dogs would just be like totally at his heel.
Right.
Perfectly trained search and rescue doggies. And so I was like, Dad was taking his time inside Walmart. So I was watching this the entire time. And I was like, I got to get me some of these doggies.
Right.
So I thought, he had a little jar on his table. So I'm looking in my wallet, and I'm counting on my money. And I end up having 3 fives. Mm-hmm. And I look at the table and I go, this could equal 3 visits to those doggies.
I did it.
And so, Dad, I go, Norm, we got to talk to this guy. He's got these doggies. So the first time we go up there, you know, $5 bill goes in and talk to the dog and pet the doggies. The guy was like, you know, friendly enough, but it was really all about the doggies.
Right.
Come back. And then I said, you know what? I want those doggies to meet Elliot.
Yeah.
Because Elliot's like, wouldn't it be lovely if Elliot could become a search and rescue dog?
Right. What if we have a job around Elliot? Yeah. For him to work.
Wouldn't that be awesome if we had this like our Elliot became like this famous search and rescue dog that they, like, sometimes, like, maybe he had to go to Syria or someplace.
Oh, sure.
To look or under,
you got
like,
a whole story written around
earthquake rubble.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I'd miss him, but oh, well.
He's,
for humanity.
Off serving our country.
Yes.
Yes. The missing would be okay.
Yeah. And if he got paid like $250,000 a year,
for sure.
That would be okay too, you
sure.
know? And he'd be gone a lot.
Yeah.
I started having this fantasy.
Good.
So then, Julie, you called and said, I'm done at Menards. And so we went and picked you up. And I said, Julie, you've got to see.
Right.
There's a doggies over there.
Yeah.
At the right in front of the Walmart store. And you went, I don't really want to. I go, but you have to.
I'm like, all right. I knew I wasn't going to win this battle with you. I'm like, all right.
I gave you $10.
Yeah, you gave me $5.
I gave you $5.
Yeah.
And then I gave Dad another $5.
Yes.
And so
that guy got 15 bucks from Martha.
Yeah.
His canister was getting quite full.
Yeah. So what'd you think of those little doggies?
Fine. Very well behaved.
Well,
nice,
he did say, yeah, let's let Elliot come out.
Yeah.
And let's see what the dogs do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we Elliot came out and met one doggy, kissed, their tails were wagging.
Yeah.
And then they went over and he met the other doggy,
yeah.
kissed, their tails are wagging. And then both doggies somehow came toward Elliot at the same time.
He was not having it, huh?
He effing flipped out.
Yeah, okay.
He effing flipped out. And these two doggies were not having any of that
sass.
And
what did they do?
Oh, they flipped out big time.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they started barking at Elliot?
Oh, they cornered him and then, like,
I'm surprised.
They shut that shit down.
Oh, I'm surprised. Usually, like, supposedly, those kind of dogs should, like, walk away. They engaged.
Oh, they were like, no, none of this is going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah, so... My hopes and dreams were dashed at that point.
Yeah, they should have been. They should have been. You knew you were in a fantasy world, first of all.
I was like, I thought, you know, Elliot's so cute as a search and rescue doggy.
Yeah.
And I knew that he would be able to find orphans underneath rocks in earthquakes. And I knew that it would be at least $250,000 a year.
Right.
At least. And then all my problems were immediately solved. Number one, Elliot would be gone most of the time.
Yes.
Number two, he could finally pay for us as opposed to us paying for that sucker.
Exactly right.
But you know what? Hopes and dreams.
It's okay.
Dashed against the rocks.
I mean, as your favorite song you've been playing almost continuously is that Paul Williams song. And there's that line in there, like, not even the smallest dreams come true.
And there's no getting over
that rainbow. When the smallest,
of dreams
just don't
come
true. Yeah.
I can't take all the madness the world has to give, but I won't last a day without you.
Yes.
Heartbreaking.
You play this song 3 to 5 times a day.
It's 3 to 5 times a morning and then the afternoon.
Alexa, can you play this song for me? And it's so hysterical to me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at some point you're going, not even the smallest dreams come true. Not even the smallest. It's all crap.
It's all crap.
It's all crap.
It's all shite.
Yeah. You know, the rich get wealthier. The poor.
They are.
You have to do something so incredibly brave and bold to break out of where you're at.
I was listening to Bernie Sanders and Chris Cuomo the other couple of nights ago, and he quoted Martin Luther King, who said, in this country, socialism is for the corporations.
Yeah.
The corporations get huge amounts of money breaks.
Right.
And he said, for the poor and the working class, it's nothing but rugged individualism, meaning, honey, you're on your own.
Right.
If you can't make it, you know, you're stuck under that viaduct.
Right.
And there's no getting over that rainbow.
That's right.
When
I love that even though you have two places to live in. You have your home. That's a nice home. You have Jellystone.
Yes.
You're looking at getting a camper.
Yes.
Even though we're going to have probably three places to live.
Yes.
You still see yourself living under a viaduct.
I do.
How many homes do you have to own before that viaduct dream, that goal of yours, is squashed? Just out of curiosity.
I don't, you know, here's the thing, too. It's not just me. I have a shopping cart.
Yes.
You know that, don't you?
I do know that. And it's so funny is because who's with you under this viaduct? Are you alone?
I don't, I'm sometimes alone. I do have, you know, some men that come by and we have casual sex.
Okay, good.
Or maybe not so casual. I don't know.
I think under a viaduct, either there's nothing but casual sex or there's nothing but... You really call it casual.
But, well...
It requires a lot of
effort. He has a cardboard box, so we have a little privacy.
And you just have a golfing cart. You just have a shopping cart.
I do not have a golf cart under my viaduct.
I doubt that. I bet you do. I bet, no matter what kind of cash you'd hustle for, you'd have a stream of golf carts.
Oh, you think I'm hustling? Under the viaduct.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I'm just lucky that I don't land on a needle.
That's true. Exactly.
When I'm on my back, taking one for the team.
There you go. There you go.
So, if you know me, right, and we're traveling down the road, do I not look out for good viaducts? Am I not the girl that goes, hey, that looks like a nice viaduct?
You do.
But you always think it's because I'm thinking of, oh, if there's a tornado coming.
No, it's a place to live.
It's a place to live.
Yes. I think however our brains behave, and if you believe that God created you just the way you are, God created your brain to continuously look for viaducts because that's your lowest common denominator, which I hope to God, I'm going to put money out right now.
Yeah.
The truth is, at this stage of the game, there is no situation that would require you to live under a viaduct. There's just,
You think, because I think you think that I could always live in the semi.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing that if we didn't have, so you'd have to get rid of the camper, the semi, the Jellystone, and your home, and then finally you can live in the viaduct.
Yeah,
and that means you're not living. You don't have the Kia vans. We got two Kia vans.
That's right.
Those are no longer because you could live in those.
Yeah.
So a lot has to go away.
Yeah.
I almost feel it is Walking Dead time before you're living underneath the viaduct.
Interesting.
And you never have that. Everybody else around you is having a damn good time.
Yeah. But have you noticed something though? Can I be living under this viaduct in the Midwest? I don't think so.
No, it's, well,
it's,
you know,
it's got to be someplace warm.
In Seattle, they have like a million homeless people, right?
Oh my God, I've always wanted to go to the Northwest.
Exactly.
The Pacific Northwest?
Yes.
Do they have viaducts there?
What happens is people typically live in the middle, you know how you get off a highway and they make that clover turn?
Yeah.
And there's grass in the middle of the clover turn?
Like the grassy knoll?
That's where they live. Everywhere.
OMG.
It's called urban camping now.
Urban camping.
Yeah. And so.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean.
Does somebody steal your shoes? I'm always worried about that.
Well,
I'm never going to take my shoes off.
No, I would agree. I would agree. That would be horrible if, like, all you had was your shoes and your shopping cart and somebody stole your shoes.
I'd have an umbrella to, like, fend people off.
Would you? Yeah. Oh, good.
Oh, you know what, though? Here's the thing, though. If I'm having sex and someone said, you know, Chrissy.
Right.
Got to take your shoes off. I'm like, sorry, dude.
Not taking my shoes off. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't think the sex you're having under a viaduct requires you to take your shoes off.
That's true.
I'm thinking it's barely sex. I mean, you're calling it sex, but... It's barely. It's like, your part's uncovered slightly enough to get the job done, and my part's moved over to the side enough to get the job done. And it's all, the job's getting done, kind of, until somebody comes by and you're like, turn away. What you looking at? Go away.
In my mind, though, the only reason I'm having sex and casual or anonymous, whatever you want to call it, is because I still want to convince myself that I'm human.
Oh, you have feelings.
Yes,
I feel nothing, but I'm having this casual.
I'm almost feeling like I could be dead inside.
Got it.
Yeah,
or kind of like point, zombie you are cells. Hoping you're dead by this time.
See, you're saying The Walking Dead. I'm saying you're right.
I am The Walking Dead.
I am The Walking Dead.
Yes, I'm just not a zombie.
Yeah,
I'm dead inside.
I'm just reading.
Well, that's life now. I mean, truly, we're all just walking dead. Yeah. We're all dead inside.
Well, no, remember we were reading AARP magazine.
Yes,
and they were talking about anti-aging.
Yes,
and the biggest thing that contributes to aging is what they call the walking dead cells or the zombie cells. And these are cells that have long ago died but have chosen somehow to remain around, get clogged in your organs, like your liver, your whatever, or your joints, and they're a problem.
And you have to expel those dead cells.
The idea is to drink enough water, or just to drink enough.
Yeah. That's what they said.
That's what she said. To expel the walking dead cells.
Right. Got it.
You know, I got my theories.
I'm sure they're fine theories.
Yeah.
Well, what you do is you have a way of reading the story and then reading what they really want you to hear.
Yeah. Reading in between the lines.
Well, it's funny because you were conveying this AARP article, and you said, by the way, they're creating this pill to take that that is going to help with anti-aging. But here's the dealio. It mimics what intermittent fasting does, what
high protein, low calorie
intake, aerobic and weightlifting.
Interval training, intermittent fasting,
and, yeah. and last but not least, did we say weight training already? Mm-hmm. So you go like, oh, well, that's what I'm doing now.
No, that's what they're saying is that people would like to do that now, but they can't do it.
This is why when I was doing my master's degree, the biggest thing that I learned is that everywhere is that here's a study. Now doing it is and people doing it is almost impossible.
Yeah.
We can't get people to be compliant enough of the time to get the real results.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
Right. It's kind of like if you knew from the moment you were born that you better save every penny you could because you were going to live to 120 or whatever, you know.
Right.
But now we need a pill.
Right.
Because nobody can do that.
Nobody can do that.
And the pill is a little helper.
Or you had an app. You said everybody now from the day they're born should have this app. And the app is everything you buy costs 20% more. And that 20% goes into a fund for you. And you're like, okay. And then by the time you're 60 or 70, you've got a nice wad of cash that you're able to take care of all your needs met the rest of the time. Because your needs don't get less, they get more as you get older.
Well, let me tell you about Ed. A little story about a man named Ed.
Yes.
Ed lives next to us in Jellystone.
Right.
In our Lodge Cottage camper. He has a Lodge Cottage camper next to us. Except Ed lives in Jellystone. And he lives in Jellystone. Yeah. That's his life.
Right.
And so he moved from a house when he retired. And now, like, his backyard is literally full of all his, whatever he had outside in his house, he now has outside of Jellystone.
He used to have two sheds, but you're not allowed to have two sheds at Jellystone.
No.
So I would have preferred them to have him have two sheds.
I would have loved to have
How
two.
How dare Jellystone have that as a rule?
Yeah.
You can have as much crap as you want.
On the outside of the back
of your
house.
But you're only allowed one shed.
Yeah.
Well, that makes no sense. Give the man a second shed. Yeah. At least then all the crap would be in it.
He could borrow our shed now.
Exactly.
That's what I like. And so
he should.
He's out in the backyard, you know. And so he's got all this firewood, which I don't know what, you know, I don't really see him burning stuff. But now he's got his front porch filled with stuff. And see, you have a little front porch, and then you have a screened-in, what would you call it, a screened-in?
Three-season room.
It's really, but he's made it a four-season
room. Yeah, he has an actual bedroom there.
Because he put a bedroom in that. So he's got his bedroom in there. And so Ed is doing it his way.
Right.
And he also, on the weekend, sells corn in front of his. I don't know where he grows the corn. I do not know that.
No, I either. That's a good point. That's a real good
Should
point.
Should I ask him at some point in time?
No, it's okay.
Ed, where do you grow your corn at that you can come and sell it on the weekends? We have this feeling that he's buying it.
Right.
And then perhaps selling it for like 20% more.
Yeah, could that be? That makes sense.
That could be it.
Yeah, that makes
sense. So, I mean, what's the last stop for Ed? Well, he does spend the winters in Texas.
Yeah, and you ask me, what does that man do all day long?
I do ask that all the time.
I said, well, he's quote-unquote retired his way, which is, I think he just moses around.
He sits in the back porch.
Right.
And then he moves to the front porch, and then he bought himself like a, one of those bars, which is for whatever reason is like really, really hot now at Jellystone. It's just a taller, instead of having a table and chairs outside,
you have
like a bar and you have two.
Like a bistro set, a bar.
Two seats in front and two seats in back.
Got it.
And it's like a bar top. Yeah. So he's got one of those and so he goes, sits there.
Right. And but he's not working. At least he's not working.
He's not working.
He's retired.
He's retired.
He's not working.
Yeah.
So now he just, you know. Yeah.
And you brought him cookies last week.
Yeah.
And you said, here's some chocolate chip M&M cookies. And he goes, oh, thanks. And you go, is there anything more you'd like? And he goes, I'm okay, except that just don't bring me anything with pineapple in it.
Good to know.
Good to know, dude.
I wasn't going to make anything with cookies with pineapple, but.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. I go, that was my next goal.
Pineapple cookies.
Exactly. You've been really struggling, though, with this idea and concept of retiring.
Yes.
Because, first off, we kind of have a big life.
Not just big.
Expensive.
It's big.
Yeah.
It's like. Did I just say not just big, but big?
Yeah, but yeah, big.
Big.
But big,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of funny, though, in this AARP magazine, they're talking about people with, like, second lives.
Yeah.
Who've retired and then make money doing things they love.
Right.
And it's interesting because, you know, Dad loves trucking.
Yeah.
If he retired and tried to get a second job going, I have no idea what it would be.
And it wouldn't be
anything. It took him like 5 weeks to figure out how to put lights up, new lights up on our house.
It did not.
Because why? I always need new bolts, Julie.
Well,
these bolts don't fit.
Sometimes you go, Norm, you can retire and then like get a job at Walmart, be a greeter. And he's like.
Because that's the only thing he's good at is being friendly.
Yeah.
He's just a friendly dude.
I know, but he's like, well, why would I give up my gig I have now to do that?
Right.
Because that's ridiculous.
I can do this in my sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a point where you're going, why do you have to, and I figured out why. It's because you have to, like for people who, let's bring up teachers. You can retire and start getting your pension at a certain amount of time.
Right.
But if you continue working, you don't get your pension. So you can quit your job, get your pension, and then get another job. You know, or you can just keep teaching and then, but you don't get your pension then.
Right.
From what I understand.
Right.
So you have to somehow, which I think is kind of wrong. At some point, you should
be
able. Doesn't
make sense.
Yeah. Like, oh, here's my money.
Right.
It's making me interest. Right. I should be able to work and get my money.
Right.
You know, and that would really increase my lifestyle,
right.
You know, if I wanted to. I'm healthy and
we have
able to do
all,
stuff.
Yeah. You know, because here's the thing. I think our generation who's, you know, developing these second lives and stuff.
Yeah.
We're different than millennials.
Right.
Well, we're not in competition with them.
No.
I think millennials sometimes think we are.
Right.
Because, you know, you know, you ever see the commercial like the old guys trying to hold the hose but putting out a fire?
Right.
I love that commercial.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, talking about retirement, because Doug is all over this right now because he just feels so
really
broke. Oh, yeah. He's like, how am I going to retire? I'm never going to retire, which is fine. I don't want to ever retire anyway. But how do I, like, even come up with the idea of thinking about like, having enough money to, like, in those last 10 years of my life to support myself?
I think he and Ed should get together.
Yes. I said, I have no idea. I can give you a plan, but I'm not going to come across like you're going to believe it. So I go, I can set that up for you.
Yeah.
But then are you going to follow it?
No.
No, of course not.
Because he has only a couple people that he listens to.
If we didn't have
you
Social
are not
Security,
one of them.
Right? If we didn't have Social Security, the majority of people wouldn't have any money at the end of their life to bring in. You
right,
know,
right.
Because most people, that when you realize that they're self-employed, they do this, they you know, it requires a lot of effort and almost an agreement with not just yourself and your employer, you know, say, yes, I'll give you money. You'll give me money. We'll put into a fund. And every day we have this agreement that we're working towards, you know. But for a lot of people, that just that agreement never occurs. It doesn't happen.
Right.
It just doesn't happen, you know. So it is what it is. Fun talks about retirement.
How do we get here, Jules?
You brought up AARP.
Sorry, girlfriend.
How dare you bring up AARP?
Sorry.
We should have an intervention about this crap.
I know.
But I really did thought that when I saw that, when I heard the intervention story, and I thought, oh my God, I mean, everybody should have an intervention at least once a year. You know, all their friends come together and go, you know, here are your good qualities.
Yeah.
But here's where you're just slightly missing the mark.
Yeah.
And here's how we're affected by you missing the mark.
Ooh. Because you are the sum of all your friends. You're the average sum of all your friends.
You know, because none of us are perfect.
No.
And part of an intervention is like when you read your story, it's like, here, I'm here. I love you so much. I support you in every way. Mm-hmm. And here's how your behavior affects me.
Mm.
And, you know, causes me pain and grief. Mm. You know?
That's going to go over big.
I know. And then we have, because you're like, well, if I give you an intervention, I guess that means I had to have an intervention,
I know.
Too.
I can't wait now.
I can't wait. Oh, that'd be horrible. Yeah. So when's the line? When's the line drawn where, like, your behavior is not, listen, you got some crappy behavior. We all do that. Used to be, you know, addressed and worked on, you know, mm-hmm. we want to improve ourselves. We're mm-hmm. always in the process of improving ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure there's comedians out there with other comedians are like, we need to have an intervention with this dude. His jokes are subpar. He's passing this off as, I mean, we've watched enough comedy specials on Netflix to say, dude, you are phoning this in.
Yeah.
Your friends should be saying, how dare you put this? How dare you? You should just say, phone in.
Well, you know what I think is so funny about comedy now?
Tell me.
Is I don't know when the rule happened or what kind of comedy law happened and what year and what month it was passed. But now,
February of 2018. Go for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. When all of comedy had to be personalized.
Right.
Because you couldn't just say, hey, two dudes are walking down the street and they were both pedophiles. Now you got to say, me and another dude were walking down the street. We were both pedophiles.
Exactly.
You got to own everything, because if it's something about somebody else, it's just, it's not appropriate.
No.
It somehow misses, I don't know. It's the, what kind of police is it, Julia, that, what do you keep looking at?
Oh,
you're annoying me.
I'm not ignoring you.
No, you're annoying me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, because I wanted to talk about this.
Oh, okay. All right. No, well, I'm trying to talk and I'm like engaging you.
Yeah.
And you're like reading something.
Oh, okay. Well, now I'm out of your story.
No. What were you looking at? Go ahead and read it.
No.
I'll sing while you're doing it. And there's no. Mind. Go ahead. No, you go ahead. I'll sing. And there's no getting over.
I was going to talk about
that rainbow.
A place I went to over the weekend that I thought was really hysterical, and the guys who run this place must be comedians.
Tell me about it, since we're on comedy.
Yeah, but you surely brought me out of my mojo. I have no idea. No, it was like you know how you go to a bathroom, and sometimes the bathroom will say, it's like, please don't flush feminine products down the toilet. And I'm like,
a purse.
Yeah, exactly.
High heels.
Yeah,
stilettos.
And so this guy. So I went to this place. I'm not going to say who it was, but it's a.
Oh,
place.
Please!
I'm not going to, just because I took pictures of it.
Oh, please!
But it's a place where Christmas happens a lot, and and one of the signs there, first off, was where you wash your hands, and so. Everybody should wash your hands a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
is that the sign?
Yeah. Well, we know that it's like two. You should wash your hands enough times. Yeah,
well, I learned happy birthday,
right?
But as a Catholic girl growing up, we had to say the Hail Mary. So
right.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women.
Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother God.
And I learned that's how you should do that two or three times when you're brushing your teeth.
Yes.
But now they say.
No, that's the Our Father.
Oh, the whole, and then glory be to the Father.
Yes. Okay. And then the rosary is, bathtub.
Rosary is more for meditation, go to sleep. You say the rosary, and then by the time it's done, you are asleep. So these people, you know, usually it's a sign that says, all employees must wash their hands before they go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
But so they've come up with a sign. And I love this place. It's Christmas everywhere, 24/7 here. And it's wash, wash, wash your hands. Get them very clean. Do the rub, do the scrub. Germs are very mean. Wash, wash, wash your hands. You should sing this song twice. Do the rub, do the scrub. Being clean is nice. So you got to do this song twice.
Yeah, but Row, Row, Row Your Boat is not a Christmas song.
No, but this has joy in it.
Oh, it does.
This place is a joyful place to work.
But why couldn't it? But okay. All right. Like, we wish. Here, I'll do the. You sing more. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Do it to a Christmas carol.
Okay. Okay.
Merry
I will, Mother.
Merry Christmas to you.
Okay.
You.
Wash your hands. Get them very clean. Well, first of all, they don't tell you that this is a rub. Yeah. Or Row, Row, Row Your Boat song. Yeah.
They don't?
No. They don't tell you. They don't say, sing this to Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Uh-huh.
I just did it automatically.
Oh, you just knew.
See, here's the thing. Wash your hands.
Here's the thing that I have something against.
Okay.
I have something against the word rub in a restroom.
Yeah. Exactly.
rub one out.
And another sign is, you know, like about the feminine product sign that's in all female bathrooms.
Uh-huh.
Which is, so this guy, whoever does this bathroom, he had a picture of plungers. He's like, so we don't have to use these plungers. You guys don't flush your feminine products down our toilets. And I'm like, dude, first off, as a woman who's had to plunge things, I have never had to plunge things because of feminine product, but I sure has had to plunge things because of male dumps. So I want to know, in your male bath, if you
better have some plungers, pictures of plungers.
You better have pictures of plungers and saying, hey, why not have a lighter lunch so I don't have to use this plunger on your toilet?
I know. Every time Doug uses our bathroom in the Lodge Cottage Cabin,
yes,
we have to bring out the plunger.
Yes. Well, no, we don't. He always has. We always know it went down because he has found the plunger and the fan is on. We're like, hello. So I'm just saying.
What do you think of people like that?
What?
That take dumps in your toilet?
I think.
Nothing. Nothing of it.
Well, I think that's a funny question to ask because you're really leading me to this idea like, hey, he's your boyfriend. How do you think about your boyfriend taking a dump in our cabin? You
well, know? No, I just remember when my mom was alive.
Yes.
One time she was at, you and her were at my brother's house.
Right.
And she had to take a dump.
Yeah.
And she had to call you because it wasn't going down the toilet.
Right.
And you had to go ask my brother for a plunger. And he looked at you and he like he had like horror in his eyes. Like, why would anyone in this household need a plunger?
I said to myself, who doesn't need a plunger?
And he didn't have a plunger. I was like, what the?
It was Christmas. It was horror. Walmart open? Who doesn't have a plunger? I thought that was the weirdest thing.
Yeah. I know what people are thinking.
What?
They're thinking, what happened to it? If it didn't go down without a plunger.
Yeah, I don't know. They kicked me out of the bathroom. I had almost
done. I know what happened to it. You put it in your purse.
Oh, no. Oh, did we? No, we didn't.
You put it in Grandma's purse.
No, we didn't.
Yes, you did.
Okay, we did.
Did you really?
No, we didn't. That's not how the story goes. She wanted
to. In my mind, the story goes like that.
I feel bad.
You put it in your purse.
Well, because she wanted to. Because it was a, she was having a hard time passing this.
Yes.
She was compacted. And finally, it came out and it was a log.
It was hard.
It was a log. I'm like.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, we gotta take that out of there. Meaning, I have to take it out of there. I'm like, all right. I'm like, let's just flush it. I go, let's just work with it. Let's work with this.
When you brought in Johnny.
I only brought Johnny because I kept throwing water down it, you know, and it just wouldn't go down. And then, oh, my God, it was like, it became so embarrassing for Grandma. And I'm like, why is this a big deal? We all poop. Come on. But the fact that a grown man doesn't have a plunger, I'm like, what do they eat?
Yeah. No, I think it's just like, no, he was like, what do you think? What's wrong with the plumbing in this house is perfect.
Right.
Anything would go down that.
Right.
You know, even, you know, a stuffed animal, the Velveteen Rabbit.
Right.
Which is another thing I've been thinking about lately.
We have flushed many a goldfish down these toilets. A lot of things will be flushed. I'm sure, never mind. In my mind, I see them flushing like drugs down the toilet because cops are at the front door. That's not true, but that's what is what I envision. Wink, wink.
She's like, walking that back.
Yeah, exactly. I have no evidence of this ever happening, you know? Yeah, what evidence has been flushed in the toilet? But I felt, you know... I felt bad for Grandma because I've had those Thanksgiving meals where you're eating stuff that you haven't eaten in a year.
Was it Thanksgiving or was it Christmas?
It was Christmas. We don't go down there.
Yeah,
it's so weird because that's the last time I think we would bring Christmas down there.
Yeah.
Oh, too bad. No, it wasn't. No, because everybody was still alive then. Life moves on, though, doesn't it?
No.
Life moves on.
And you think that there's no viaduct.
But am I wrong in that? I think it's just, I want to know if the male bathroom is a whimsical. Now, this place also, you know how in some factories are so big, the employees and employers get to have segways to travel across?
Yeah.
This place you would love because they have
golf carts?
No.
Oh.
But they have a set, like four or five, three-wheel bicycles.
Tricycles.
Adult tricycles.
Oh, love it.
With baskets in the back.
Yeah.
And big flags on them.
Uh-huh.
And you get to
Do you actually have to pedal them?
You got to pedal them.
Wow.
Because you also get to,
You have to exercise.
You have to exercise.
Yeah.
But isn't that just awesome?
That is totally awesome.
Yeah. I mean... And so you get the impression that people are, they probably have a little.
That they care for their community.
Yeah, they probably have little bells on them too.
Yeah.
But it's a new gig. This place is a new gig.
Uh-huh.
And I love these places.
Yeah.
They're very easygoing.
Mm-hmm.
The loads are not heavy.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the bar places or the beer companies, and our loads are always maxed out.
Yeah.
Weight wise. I'm like, yeah. These are just like, they're light
but
loads.
But the Christmas place is like light. Nothing ever weighs a lot at these Christmas places.
No.
How much could a cheese log?
Exactly.
No,
our
petty fours.
And come on, not very much.
Yeah, exactly.
We just don't know. So that's kind of.
I think that Julie. I think you have to take it upon yourself next time you're there. If it's in the middle of the night, nobody's around, you have to go into the male bathroom and you have to find out.
Well, first off, I can only go to the bathrooms when they're open.
Yeah,
I happen to be there only once when they're open.
Mm-hmm.
I usually am not there when they're open.
Got it. They close the bathrooms up.
Well, they do.
Mm. So they lock them up.
Yeah, they do lock them up.
Mm.
So, but if I am there, I will try to sneak a peek in the male bathroom.
Right.
I will try and sneak a peek.
See what song they have there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. They probably have a limerick. There once was a man from Nantucket.
Yeah. Exactly. Who ate a big lunch and didn't flush it. So chill on the food till you get home. Take your
I was listening.
Avoid the paperwork. No, twice the flush or something like that. Mercy flush. Here we go.
I was watching.
It's so funny.
Yeah, really. But here's the thing, though. There are some dumps that mercy flushes. There's no mercy.
No, there's no mercy.
Yeah.
Well, there's like, see, to me, mercy flush means that you're in the middle of
right.
But for Normano, he has mercy flush, and then he has a thing called the last mercy flush before the paperwork.
Yeah.
He goes, no, you should flush it for paperwork.
Yeah.
Because if you need a mercy flush. And then you do
mercy.
Paperwork. Exactly. And so a lot of girls like go, wait a minute, that's just a lot of water being used.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not because of the smell necessarily. It's more because of it won't going down.
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have this product called poopery, which I
love. Yeah. I was in a bathroom this week and I kept hearing this woman that was, she wasn't in the stall next to me, but like maybe two stalls down, but she was making kind of interesting noises. And she was making like some, it wasn't like really bad grunting, but some kind of noise, and then some kind of other noise, and then like a and then coughing.
Mm-hmm.
And then some other noise. It was very noisy.
Very noisy.
It was very, very noisy.
Okay.
And I was like, well, maybe, I thought maybe, because some people have a hard time peeing, and so they need noise to do. I just didn't know. But I was curious. And so I was washing my hands, and I was washing him, because I was staying around to figure out
the song.
This person.
Oh, got it, got like, it, got
what
it.
What was going
yeah,
on.
Right.
And so finally she came out. And she was dressed in full Amish regalia.
Yeah.
She had on the whole Amish hat.
More like
Amish,
Mennonite, right? Or is that the same?
But, I, you know, tights.
Yes.
You know, thick socks and the big jumper with the skirt
right.
and the belt and
yeah.
and the bow tie.
Right. You guys know what we're talking about because they all have the same pattern they're working off of because they conserve.
Yes.
You know, they all know, they were all raised to know how to sew this one outfit.
Yeah.
They have their own Mennonite Project runway. And he's like, ooh.
I love the way they did the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. I love how they did that. I saw the different way of you use that button. I like that.
Oh, what a maverick. I love the length of that dress. It's perfect for horseback riding.
Yeah, exactly.
No, for plow, for the horse plow. But, you know, I just thought maybe I was privy just by chance. Maybe right. I was privy to what the Amish people do when they poop.
Oh, like it's actually a thing.
It's a thing.
Oh.
It's like maybe there's a certain amount of, who knows, maybe there's like some prayers.
Oh.
And then there's this noise, which is like.
And maybe because they're so natural, like everybody poops.
Yeah, and naturally.
It's just, you make whatever you don't try and be quiet.
Yeah.
I try and be quiet. We all yeah. poop.
But didn't you wonder, though, like when she came out?
I was
out,
surprised.
That she
Because I had to be there at the same time, if you're wondering. Yeah. Hello.
Julie was in the stall next to me, and then the lady was with her.
Because we're never alone. No, I was surprised, like, oh, yeah, okay, Mennonite. Because I don't know if we have an Amish community near us, but we definitely have a Mennonite community.
No, but people don't know Mennonites so much, but they understand Amish. And well, I'm just saying that's what it looks like.
Right.
It looks exactly like they plow with their horses.
But they know how, they can drive.
They can drive.
I don't think the Amish can drive.
I did not know if they had working toilets even, did you? I mean, this, I was like, whoa, she knew exactly what to do with this.
Which is hysterical because in our lifetime, you avoided public bathrooms for decades. And then when you stopped avoiding them, you were astounded at how you didn't have to flush. You didn't have to turn on the water faucets. You're like, what? What? And so I think you were surprised that this Mennonite woman or Amish woman knew exactly what to do.
Because like, I didn't.
How did she know that this stuff would actually flush on its own? And
yeah. Well, now it's so funny because I just assume that any place that I see anything, I can just put my hands under it
right.
and let it yeah. rip.
This is
like,
the thing.
How dare you make me work yeah. for this? I'm putting my hands under the water. Come on, do it.
This is, yeah, we're at a stage in everybody's evolution in some sense where we're talking about bathroom etiquette, you know? And
love it.
Well, I mean, you know, and like, you know, I'm talking about. Like,
yes.
Okay.
I'm Josh and you, Jewel.
I know. And it's so funny to me because there, I bet, I don't know, I'm going to throw a number that has no basis in reality, but I just believe this. I bet 45% of the people in America would prefer never to use a public bathroom. So the idea that we have discussions on public bathrooms is funny to me because
yeah.
most of us are like, if I can avoid to use a public bathroom,
right.
I'm going to.
Right.
At any cost, I'm
right.
going to avoid it.
Yeah. It would, I mean, everybody has to have at some point in their time learned the fine art of holding it.
Yes, exactly.
And then sometimes you can't.
And then sometimes you just can't.
But see, there are other people that was to be 55% that just go, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm kind of feeling the urge. I mean, the nearest, like, Jill will go in a Walmart. Jill will go in a Menards. Jill will go to Home Depot.
And I'm always upset when I go to a place and they're cleaning the bathroom at that moment. I'm like, really? Really got to clean it this time? Can't you wait till the night? You know, and does it require you shutting it down? I mean, you know, can't you, like, do other stalls while I'm... This is a 12-stall bathroom. Doesn't it all have to be closed, you know? Or can't you find a woman to clean the bathroom? You know, yada, yada, yada. So, well, I mean, oh, my God, the tragedy of it all. My life is so hard.
So what else is going on for you this weekend, girlfriend?
I don't know. I must be having weird sinuses because here I am getting stuffy again.
Oh, no.
I know, but that's okay.
This is getting to be a thing now with you.
I know. I'm in the room with you, and then it's me. It's you.
It You're really getting is. Allergic to me.
We're allergic
at this
to each
time
other.
In our lives.
Exactly.
Oh, no. Did we think this was going to happen?
Yes.
It was a good chance.
Good chance.
It was a good chance. Greg Gardens was going to happen.
Exactly. Well, that wasn't being allergic to each other. I was assuming Greg Gardens would happen.
Yeah.
I was grateful going, oh, at least they have a name for it. Like, somebody named it. But my garden wouldn't be gray.
Yeah.
Thank God. At least not yet. I have a little more color to it.
Yes.
For sure. Come on. Mm. But nothing else is going on. I mean, I am busy every single day.
Yeah.
I don't, and yet...
From before sunup.
And yet, we're not happy.
We're depressed.
We're depressed. Nothing seems to be working.
And there's no getting
Yeah, I
over.
Think, do you need to have this song playing five times a day, Mother?
Kind of.
I know, you love kinda. This song.
No, I need something that reflects where I'm at in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that okay?
As a coach, it's not okay, because I think you want your coach to have
somebody asked you this week, another coach said, Julie, do you have an accountability coach?
Oh, yeah.
And you went,
oh, my mom.
Like my mom. And she went, nah. I don't think so.
I go, oh, my mom's not a good coach? Yeah. She was like, not really.
Mom's like not gonna like.
Yeah.
Because I go, like, oh, come on, Jules.
Let's not do this.
Let's not do this.
Oh, Julie, the brat with the brioche bread. I have never, I think you guys use the word, I have never tasted anything so miraculous in my entire life. Like, screw it. I'm going to have one, then. I'm going to have a
brioche. Or like, I always go like, Jules like, oh, let's go work out, Mom. And I'm like, there's a 60-minute Netflix comedy special.
I'll work out now.
Let's go see it.
Exactly.
Adam Devine.
You liked that one, didn't you?
It was okay.
Was he phoning it in?
The first 30 minutes were, the last 30, he kind of let it
When
let
you
it
hear
rip.
Joe Rogan talk about how he spends almost 6 months to a year for a new...
I disagree with that violently.
I'm now...
You and I could do an hour just based on our... We could go through our favorite riffs.
Yes. And then pull out, and we'd have a tight hour.
We'd have a tight hour.
I don't, you know, maybe
I like the word tight.
Yeah.
We've used the word rub. We got tight going on.
See, but everything can be a sexual innuendo.
I know. It's kind of toilet humor. Can we rise above this? Can we just get better than this?
No, we
can
really
we be can't. Can we find our higher nature?
Well, it was so funny because last week I told you the show is almost over, and you're like, oh, I have something to talk about. And so, and then we said, we'll talk about it next week, but we didn't do, which was kind of good because it
which
was
one
really,
was it?
It was something depressing, death. And I'm like, kind of hard to bring up something like that the last 2 minutes of the show.
Oh, right.
But we have 2 minutes of the show now. Is there anything you want to bring up?
There's only 2 minutes left?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right, give or take. Give or take.
What was it? What was it? Oh, it was about the two older people with brain injuries.
Yeah.
One turned out real crabby and mean, and the other one was real nice.
Yeah. If you had a
brain
injury.
And we were trying to hope which one would we want to be.
Right.
I hope I would be nice because I've been so crabby with me my whole life to you guys. And so wouldn't it be nice? You're like, oh, Mom's going to be so sweet to us.
It would be interesting. I remember... Grandma, you know, when she had an incident and she went to the hospital, and I was talking to the nurse, and she called me up because I was calling every day. We're on our way down there, and she's like, I just have to talk to you a little bit. I'm like, okay, you know,
sometimes
they don't come back the same, they come back different. I'm like, oh, okay, well, tell me what's going on. She goes, you know, is your grandma kind of, for lack of a better word, mean? Like, oh, yeah, she is. Oh, well, then she's totally fine. She's back.
She's back.
And now I look at it because she just didn't take anybody's crap.
No.
Even if people weren't giving her crap.
She
wasn't taking any of it.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm not taking any of you guys. Not one bit. You guys are all rubbing me the wrong way. All of you. Whatever you guys are, you're breathing loudly. Stop breathing loudly, please. So No. And I'm like, yes, and they come back. Sometimes they come back the same.
The same.
I tell my brain right now, if something happens to my brain, I want it to at least be pleasant to be around.
You would be, Jules.
I don't know.
You're so sweet.
I don't know.
You're such a good person.
It is weird reading the AARP.
I mean, you're way too good.
That would be my intervention.
Yeah.
You're like, you're just too good.
Your
goodness affects me in a negative
how
way.
How many times do I say during the week?
Yeah.
Because you are so good. Where is your fucking line?
Yes, because you
feel. I always want to know, where's your line in the sand?
Because you feel that I throw you under the bus before I'm, me being kind always puts you in danger, you think.
Sometimes, yes, right. I do feel that. But I do feel that you are just kind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even inappropriately kind.
Inappropriately kind.
And I'm like going, Julie, where is your line? Where's the line in the sand for you?
I'm not really sure because, I mean, I would,
I'd like to find it.
I know because I believe most people are just holding on to a, you know.
They are.
I cut people too much slack. I know I do.
Yeah.
But really, I just don't care. Like, hey, you know. When we're done with our conversation here,
mm-hmm.
I got shit going on. You got shit going on.
Yeah.
And really, we won't remember each other for the most part.
Right.
You know, God bless. Go on your merry way.
Yeah. That's just too nice of you.
Is it too nice of me?
It's just too nice.
Okay.
And see, here's the thing, though. I feel blessed then because of it. That's what pisses me off.
I mean, that's the reason why you hate me so
that's
much.
That's right. That's exactly right. Because, like, I have to go through life with you as my daughter, this lovely, kind, nice, generous, sweet,
not
adorable,
living up to her potential,
funny,
mediocre,
not living up to her potential,
yeah, not living up to her potential,
yeah. and then, yeah, Julie, you're mom. Would you be my accountability partner?
Yeah. Oh, it was so funny. I was talking to that coach about saying, and you go, and about an hour later, you said, I am so pissed off that person's in my life right now.
Like, not, I said that.
Said
I know
me,
I did that.
I go, I didn't know he was in your life. I go, I'm just really pissed off by this. I'm like, good to know. Good to know.
Well, I think we use the word around here that person continues to be in my frequency.
Yeah. All right. So, girlfriend, before we end the show.
This was a quick hour.
It was a very quick hour. Go to profitinjoy.com. We've got some fun things coming up. And
yes,
Profit Enjoy.
Hey, I think we're going to even have a webinar start late.
Yes. And girlfriend, what do you think? Was the show great?
It was great.
It was great.